In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scene today is in the upper room still, just like it was last week. Jesus with his disciples. It's evening. This is the evening when our Lord is to be betrayed by one of his own, leading to his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion. This is where he washed their feet, where he gave them his body as bread, his blood as wine. Here he taught them, here he prayed for them. Jesus' passion is upon him, and he knows it. And so it's with this on his heart that he exhorts the apostles and us today. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love, Jesus says. The word love that comes to us over and over again in our readings today. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Love one another. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And finally, our Lord's command, abide in my love. Love is sort of a loaded word today, isn't it? Yes, it can mean all sorts of things, some of them quite unholy. We can say that we love pizza, and we can say that we love our children. Right? It's a strange thing, isn't it? To put those two things on equal playing ground. The Greeks were more precise than we are. They had four words, at least that I know of. Catherine insisted on the way over here today that there were six. There probably are, but I only know of four. The Greeks could speak of storge love, and that's the love that you have between parents and their children. It's a kind of a nurtured love, a needful love. A child held in his mother's arms, or if you think of it in the animal kingdom, a mother ewe's love for her and defense of her lambs, father defending his family. There's really no need to command this sort of love, is there? It's instinctual, right? It's innate in us. And then there is eros. Eros. This is what we know as romantic love, the love between men and women. It's the love that we fall into, right? Passionate love. The Song of Solomon speaks in these sorts of terms. Again, it really requires no commandment, except that we keep it properly ordered according to God's commandments. Then there's philos or philos. I've still never known how to pronounce that word. Philos or philos. That's the love born in friendship. Right, philos, philia, sometimes. Brotherly love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love is named after it. So it's the love of friends, people who you like and who probably like you, right? I don't know about you, but every time that I've developed a friendship, it just kind of happens, right? It's sort of organic and natural. You know, you can never really put your finger on the moment in time where you became friends with someone. So then, like the others, it doesn't require a commandment. It just happens. You just become friends. It's about the people we like, and so who needs a command to have affection for people that we like? So no commandment. Then there's that fourth word for love. It's the love that is all throughout our readings for today, and that is the love agape. This is sacrificial love. It is self-giving, laying one's life down for another love. This agape love is holy and divine love, and we need to be commanded and ordered to it, because it does not come naturally for us. Now you're thinking, I know this, well, Pastor, What do you mean? I'd give up my life for my son, for my daughter, in a heartbeat, right? Like that. But let me ask you this. Would you do it for your enemy? Would you lay down your life for someone who hates you? And I'll go ahead and answer for you. You would not, and neither would I. As the Father has loved me, says the Lord in verse 1. This is a substantial Trinitarian passage in the sacred text. Not because it spells out for us the inner workings of the Trinity, or lays out in sort of an in-depth way of how we might speak about Him, but because it shows us that when we're speaking about the Holy Trinity, we're speaking about a being whose first relationship to anything else is love. Moving, fierce, fiery love. This agape love defines who and what God is. It's the ground of His existence. And it's hard for us, I think, to conceive of this because we're so completely different from that. I mean, we have to be commanded to this sort of love. God is love, John would later go on to say in the Gospel. And so the Father loves the Son, not from any effort on His part, not from any doing on His part, but simply by virtue of His existence. God loves the Son. When God is merciful, when He is forgiving, when He is gracious to us, He's simply being Himself. He's being true to His nature. I am that I am, the Trinity would describe Himself to Moses and the people of Israel. And what He is love. God didn't first begin to love when the world and man were created. Man was not the first object of God's affection. We like to think that we were, but it is not true. From eternity, the Son is the object of the Father's love. So this love that is the bond of unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is eternal, and it characterizes God Himself. And what we see in the whole Gospel of John, more than others, is a focus on the incarnation of this God who is love. So if the constant and unbroken love between the persons of the Trinity is an eternal reality, and is in fact who God is, and it is, then the Son condescended this divine right, and when He became a man, that He might come to us and save us, is nothing other than God just extending Himself to us. And really is the most natural thing that could ever happen in the world. This is what often escapes me, and I think probably you too. Because I often find myself asking the question, how in the world could God love something like me? Right? How could God, why would He do what He did to have me? To have, to hold, and to love me? And the answer is absolutely simple. It's who He is. It's who He is. It's the self-giving, the self-sacrificing act of our God who loves us. And because this agape love is who God is, then this same God hanged dead on the cross is His highest glory. Because in that self-sacrifice, in that cross, we can see as crystal clear what our God is. And we have seen that He is love. This is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. The true power and depth of this verse, this commandment, shows itself as this incarnate love hangs from the cross. Jesus loves his disciples by letting the cold darkness of death overtake him, by letting the cords of hell entangle him, says the psalmist. And when the Son of God does this, the Trinitarian mystery of the ages becomes the gospel heart of the church. Love himself has died for us. So my point in all of this is to say that when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, it's not some emotional statement. It's not a command to feel a certain way towards another. All right, I've gone over this probably ad nauseum with you. But it's very important because it's a self-giving statement. When Jesus says, love one another as I've loved you, it's a self-giving statement. God gives himself to us through the humanity of Jesus Christ, who is at the same time one with us and one with his Father. It's a command to give ourselves to one another for one another. And it does not matter the cost. It's to emulate the love that Jesus has shown us as he hangs from that tree. Listen to how St. Paul says that we're joined to Jesus. He says, when we're baptized, we were baptized into Jesus' death. And therefore, if we have been united to him in a death like his, then we shall certainly be united to him in a resurrection like his. If we're baptized into Jesus and his act of self-giving, then we are baptized into his love. St. Peter says that we've been made partakers even of the divine nature because we've been made these partakers of his love. So the Savior then says directly to each one of us, he commands each one of us, abide in my love. This is a gospel imperative. It is a command. It's like receive or be baptized or take and eat and drink. It's a commandment. Abide in my love, the Lord says. What Christ is commanding, remember, is not an emotion. He knows that's not even possible for us fallen human creatures. And so many people think, I've seen this in the office of ministry over the years that I've been in it. So many people think that they're guilty of unforgiveness simply because they don't feel a certain way towards another person that has sinned against them or they've sinned against. It's just not true. It's not true. When Jesus commands us to abide in his love, he's commanding that we continue to receive the divine love and favor and grace that he's shown us on that cross from which he hung. And I'll say it again because it's Jesus' command and it's important. When he says, abide in my love, he's commanding that we continue to receive that divine flow of love and grace and favor that he showed on the cross. Don't forget that. This love that he continues to freely give to his holy church. I can't emphasize this teaching of Jesus Christ enough. Because he does not promise to distribute his love and mercy and grace elsewhere. Only in the community of the Holy Spirit that's gathered in his name. Only there and nowhere else. Call these people what you will. Call them the church. Call them the body of Christ. Call them crazy. It makes no difference. For he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, where two or three are gathered in my name, that is to hear his word and receive his sacraments, to receive and abide in his love, then what? I am there with them, the Lord says. I am there with them. What are we here to do today? Just that. And the Lord's promise, and with his promise, his presence is with us. Remain in Christ's love, then, is not really something all that abstract at all. It's something utterly concrete. And many don't get this. When Christ gives a command to his church, he never uses abstracts. It's always simple and clear and concrete. To remain in Christ's love is to remain a branch unto the vine, a member of the body. It means coming to the place where Christ himself has promised to be, and letting the vine, who is Jesus, course his life-giving love into you, the branch, just as we heard last week. This whole gospel today shows that the Christian religion is about what God has done and is doing for us. And this gospel of God's immense love carries us through the tumult of life, through everything that comes to us. It grabs a hold of us and carries us even through the valley of the shadow of death when our time comes to walk through it, and brings us right to the heart of our Savior, who has loved us completely. His love is so immense and so piercingly transformative that it can't but make the receiver of that love into the giver of that love. And so, friends of the Most High God, hear again, and maybe hear yet anew, our Lord's command to you, and carry it with you out of here. Abide in my love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.